Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Kimball, founder and editor of KimballChartingSolutions.com. And Chris, we're switching it up a little bit, especially with this first chart. You have sent me a chart, and all these charts will be posted below this interview. But this first chart, you haven't included the name of the company because we want to remove that bias. This chart is not about finding out what stock it is. It's more about deciphering what strategy you would employ when you see this type of a chart pattern, and then even bringing into account some of the fundamentals of this stock. So first and foremost, you have posted the little picture. It says, what would you do here? We see the price testing this multi-year support, and we also see some of these rising wedges or rising channels that show, you know what, there is a lot of support at this level. You also share with us the fundamentals, PE ratio around 8, dividend yield around 7%. Chris, what are you pointing out here? What would be a trading strategy, or what trading strategies could be employed? We don't want to give away all the answers here because I do want people to email us their thoughts, because we will revisit this next week. But first and foremost, what are you trying to share here?
Corey, thanks for having us back. And I guess what am I trying to share here is that, you know, as I said off the air with you, Corey, is I do this to myself. I look at hundreds of charts, and I have a way that I could hide the name of charts so I can just see the patterns for what they are. And so this is the first time that we visited this. I've done these, what I want to call a quiz, for years on my blog. And I just wanted to kind of pass this along to the readers because this is a rarity. This asset's down almost 50% in the last year. It's at the bottom of a trading range, which comes into the play as support. Over the last 14 years, it's at the bottom of this trading range. And as you mentioned, Corey, there's also a 50-year rising support line coming into play. It's all meeting this confluence of price at a 261 Fibonacci extension level. And as you mentioned, Corey, from a, you know, my mentor was Sir John Templeton. He was great at valuations, and the valuations have really, other than most people saying they're sky high, this is a stock that I just haven't seen, you know, very often. Is why I wanted to bring this up. That when I first got into the business, you know, Corey, dividend yields were almost as high or higher than PE ratios in the early 1980s. And when I got into the business in 1980, and so this is a rare duck. You know, you got a big decline, PE ratio of 8, dividend yield of around 7. And multi-decade support lines coming into play at this price point, you know, number one. And so my biggest question to people is, you know, what would you do here with just the price and the pattern? And as you mentioned, you know, Corey, if people would like to know what this stock is, there's two ways. We're going to discuss what it is next week on the show. Or if you'd like to find out, you don't want to wait till next week, you feel like this could be an opportunity, just shoot me an email at KimballChartingSolutions.com. And Kimball's spelled K-I-M-B-L-E. So it's KimballChartingSolutions.com. And I'll get right back with you and tell you, you know, what this chart is, you know, and give you the answer. But, you know, one of the clues is support until broken. And this is a rare support place that why I wanted to share it today. It's, to me, it looks like a wonderful entry point because of all of these confluences that are coming together for it.
Okay, and remember, it's not all about the actual stock, but we will share that next week, and I will post Chris's email, and you can also include me on that email. I'm just curious to see the responses that we get in terms of trading strategy. Let's move on to some other charts here. We're looking at General Electric, and you even point out that Stan Druckenmiller is reporting that he is buying GE at this 30-year support line, which is rising still. What do you think, Chris? Is that a reasonable thing to do when you do see this long-term support line, even though you can make the argument that GE has been in a bit of a decline, putting in higher lows over the past, 15, 16 years?
Yeah, there's no doubt, you know, over the last few years, GE stunk it up. You know, Corey, it's not done, you know, well at all. What is it down, like maybe two-thirds of its value has disappeared. I think, you know, this would have been another kind of interesting quiz, but I did post this on our Twitter account to MarketSmith, you know, yesterday, and I thought it was just interesting because, you know, GE was probably the number one headline story stock yesterday when a gentleman came out claiming massive fraud in General Electric. And this is not about whether the gentleman's claim is correct or incorrect. If we just looked at this chart and didn't know the name of it, we'd say, wow, whatever stock this is, you know, it's obviously the trend is down. But again, it's testing a 30-year support line. And also it reversed in the financial crisis lows almost at the same level. And then the low of what just 2 years ago was at the same price as we are now. And so I don't know how much Stanley Druckenmiller happened to buy yesterday, but when I posted this, and my chart had nothing to do with the impacting the price of the stock, I don't want to go there. It would be Stan would be an influence, not me. But after this chart was posted yesterday, the stock was up 3%, and I think as we speak here on Friday, it's up another 9%. You know, today, so it's up almost 12% since I threw this on Twitter yesterday, and so this is just another example of using pattern analysis and price as your friend, and not getting so darn caught up in the headlines.
Okay, and that is something key that we always try to point out. You know what? It's not all about the headlines and getting away from emotion when you're trading as well. Let's also move down to this next chart where it points out that investors are the least risk seekers in years. You know what, we have been pointing out that investors are moving more into safe assets, but I don't think they're necessarily liquidating their risk on assets. They're just more diversifying. But what about this? Investors shying away from risk on assets, is that sometimes a good time to be buying these assets?
Yeah, Corey, is one of the other story of the week, push aside General Electric, is what? It's the inversion of the yield curve and how negative that is. And there's a great chance that, a recession is going to start. And I even got an email from a family member, used to work for me for years and years from Texas. The comment was, Chris, are you getting any sleep up there in Kansas with all the news that's going on, the bad things and the yield, inversion? And I thought this would just be the next couple of charts, maybe a good timely event to discuss that a lot of the headlines have caused people to become much more cautious about investing than what they were just a few weeks ago. And as you mentioned, Corey, this chart goes back, 12, 13 years, and outside of the financial crisis, when the risk aversion is at current levels, markets were actually closer to lows than they were to highs. And as you mentioned just right before we got into this chart that we shared with our viewers last week, the largest amount of inflows to money markets in the last couple of weeks have taken place, and it was only surpassed by the financial crisis lows. So there's some really interesting panic or fear that's taking place on a relatively small decline in the S&P. And it's that type of stuff that gets my attention. The S&P is down 6%, then you got floods of money into money markets that's close to the financial crisis, panic. That's an outlier event.
Yeah, a bit of a disconnect, right? But hey, all we hear about right now is how worried people are getting, and that sometimes, unless we just go through a major waterfall decline, that can actually be one of those contrary indicators. Good time to at least take, a short-term position. Moving down to the next chart, it shows the percentage showing excess optimism, pessimism, spread. And right now, kind of recapping what we were just talking about, we're in a pessimistic territory. Please share your thoughts here.
Yeah, this chart looks at, this is from Sentiment Trader, a wonderful service. Corey, they look at listeners like 33, don't count me on this, but around 33 different indicators, and they look at, are a lot of these indicators expressing optimism or are they expressing pessimism? And so this is a coincident indicator as far as when the indicator is high, there's a lot of indicators showing excess optimism and few expressing pessimism. And so you can kind of see in these kind of pink shaded vertical bars that as of just a few weeks ago, this indicator was close to the highs that we've seen over the last 20 months. And it was, and that's where market peaks have most often taken place. And then all of a sudden we have this 5, 6, 7% decline in the S&P. But now flip the tables quickly. Even though we've had a small decline, this indicator is now back at some of the lowest readings in the last 20 months, going back to, you know, say February of 2018. And so oftentimes when this indicator, there's very few, in other words, very few indicators expressing optimism and quite a few expressing pessimism, the market, ironically, was a little bit closer to lows and highs.
Yeah, pretty interesting, hey? But this all just goes to show that the feelings that investors have don't always line up with the way that markets will move. Final chart looking at the S&P weekly. You know what? It has been quite the run since the 2009 lows. And right now we're actually below that long-term uptrend line. But we do have some other lines that you're drawing more on a short-term basis going back to about late 2017 that are still somewhat supportive but could be showing a topping right around this level or right around 3,000 to be exact. What do you think about the S&P weekly and where it is?
Corey, we've shared this chart with our members every week now for over a couple of years. And the reason that I think this chart is really important is when you think back, I can't prove this, but in my opinion, the two most important highs and lows in the last 15 years was the 2007 high and the financial crisis panic low. And so we've applied Fibonacci to the 2007 high and the 2009 low and the 261 extension level. And in other words, it's the S&P is 161% above this, the 2007 high and the 2009 low. It's called the Fibonacci extension level, excuse me. And to me, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the sand. And I didn't include this on the chart, but when the S&P hit the 161 level, starting in 2014, Corey, it went sideways for almost 2 years. But once it broke above that, it made 50% in 12 months. So when you really look back, for the most part, as it came really close to this 261 extension level in January of last year, so we're almost 20 months out, for the most part, the S&P is just chopped sideways. Bulls don't have gobs to brag about. Bears don't have gobs to brag about. And it's mostly chopped sideways. And so part of the combination now of the sentiment and this extension level, if the S&P, what would be the ideal circumstance at a breakout point? It would be to break above a key resistance level, which would be the 261 extension level, as you mentioned, Corey, right around 3,000, and do it with very few people on board. That would be ideal. I'm not a bull or a bear. I'm just looking for opportunities. But one of the biggest opportunities for a bull case would be the S&P breaking out above 3,000 and seeing very few indicators expressing optimism and the risk profile showing that very few people are aggressive and that people are actually piling money into cash. These are the type of ancillary ingredients that can help markets break above a 20-month trading range. And so I kind of wanted to share, you know, we're at a huge support line. The 6% decline has the S&P testing, rising support at 2. The bulls would really get some crappy news, you know, Corey, if that support line would break. But with the sentiment indicators, the bulls would actually get very good news if the 3,000 level could be taken out, if it could break above this 20-month trading range. So we got some really fun things going on to me on a price and sentiment perspective right now.
All right. Hey, always great chatting with you there, Chris. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing what some of the trading strategies would be for that first chart. Overall, though, keep those emails coming. Let us know what you guys are thinking. And, well, in the meantime, we will be revisiting that first chart. But overall, still consider just how pessimistic everybody is and still the fact that the markets really haven't dropped out of bed yet. They have dropped sideways, though.